Shauna Lynn Jones heard the siren at 3 a.m., but refused to get out of bed. What she heard sounded like the school bells that pulsed to announce earthquakes. She could sleep through those. Those bells were drills. Those drills were dropping covers. And everyone in California knew, if the big one hit, there's no way an Antelope Valley school desk would save you. Shauna, let's go. We've got to go out with another fire, Carla said, shaking her. Shauna refused to get out of bed. Get up, Shauna. Shauna groaned. Is it for reals this time? She asked. Carla nodded. Yeah, get up. Come on. Bailey's gonna be pissed. Shauna got up and ran, groggy, to the buggy. Her shirt was stamped in 12-inch letters, CDCR, California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, so that underneath it all, under her Nomex protective gear, she'd never be mistaken for a free world firefighter. At the buggy, Carla pointed at Shauna's feet. Where are your boots? Carla's eyes widened. Shauna was shoeless. She had raced out in a dream state. Was she imagining the siren? Was she actually even running to the buggy? Was she in jail? Was she a firefighter? Was she back home in Lancaster? Was she at the biker bar her mom managed in Antelope Valley? Was she skateboarding? Was she jumping into Shaver Lake on a hot day? She didn't know what the fuck was going on. She groaned and asked again, is this a for reals fire? They had to treat every alarm as real. They had to rush to the buggy every time. It was their job. It was why they got paid the prison salaries of $2.56 a day and $1 an hour when they were out on the line fighting fire. Shauna had barely seen flames before, but she was itching to. She kept saying she wanted to fight an out-of-county, when crews would travel across county lines and assist statewide efforts, sleeping outside for up to 2 weeks at a time, sometimes longer. Shauna held her black, dirt-caked boots in her hands, but hadn't yet pulled them on and laced them up. They looked just like the kind of shoes correctional officers favor, white smoke jumpers. They were heavy black leather with winged wooden heels. New girls always complained about the boots and the blisters that came with them. It was dark. Red and white lights flashed. She made the crew late. The foreman, Dom Bailey, was waiting. Shauna made the crew late a lot. She often came out of the barracks sloppy, shirt untucked, shoes untied, disheveled in a way that would often warrant punishment. The crew would get harder work the next day. But Shauna and Bailey had their own rapport. He wasn't as strict with her. Everyone could tell he liked her. And anyway, it was his last day with Crew 13-3. After this, he'd be promoted to captain and transferred, and they'd have a new foreman. He told Shauna to hurry up. It had been the third, fourth, maybe fifth alarm of their shift. Around 10 p.m., when inmates had to be on their bunks for final count, the crew had assumed it just wasn't their night to catch a fire. They toasted pizza pockets, got ready for bed, but stayed dressed in their oranges just in case they caught a call. They went to bed in the open concrete-floored barracks, bunk after bunk after bunk. They slept in the same order they walked as a crew. First, the sawyer, the woman in charge of handling the chainsaw and cutting brush. Then, her bucker, the person who cleaned up whatever she slashed down. A second sawyer and her bucker, that was Carla and Shauna. Then the rest of the crew, the women in charge of tools, the girls who scraped the earth with McLeods and cut line with Pulaskis. And last in line, the drag spoon, the person who looked out for safety issues. They lay down, thinking the calls had stopped. With only an eighth of their 24-hour shift remaining, it was a good gamble. Some went to sleep hard, something deep. Others floated on the edge of consciousness, knowing another alarm might sound.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.